joining us now are the gurus of How To, Alvin and Lawrence Ubell, a father and son who also are responsible for accurate building inspections. In building inspectors?
Inspectors, yeah, plural.
Brooklyn, New York.
It's a plural group, you know.
You didn't call it Ubell and Son.
I was one at the time. We didn't know what the future was holding.
Yes, and if actually, I'm not crazy about the name Accurate Building Inspectors. It's presumptuous.
But it's the first one that pops up on the phone book.
That's what my lawyer said.
you could have been A Building Inspector.
But that's why he
Acme. Picked,
that's why he said to me, pick Accurate, because Accurate puts in the yellow pages right up front.
And it's worked well.
Yeah, it's worked well.
Well, the yellow pages is a dying breed.
Yeah, but there are other ways. I'm sure if people I don't know how it works on Google, and I'm not even going to think about it.
Okay.
a reminder that our listeners can call us, as they do when you come by, at 646-829-3985. That's 646-829-3985, or leave a comment on our show page at WNYC.org. And when you come by, we usually talk about something that's in the news. Well, right now, the big story happens to be this incredible change in the temperature. We're in February, in the middle of December.
Yes.
Did you expect it any different?
This is
the winter.
No, it's not.
It's winter. December.
We don't have winter until the 20th.
Last I checked, no, we're still in the fall.
It's cold weather season.
So it's always this cold in December.
Yes.
Okay. Now we know why he didn't start a weather almanac.
It's not.
It's actually. I'm going to disagree with you. It's warmer in December than it's been.
Yeah, we're gonna let you start a new magazine called The Old Brooklynites Almanac.
Yeah, but I'm just
the ways I remembered it. It snowed every day. We walked uphill to school
without shoes on,
and both uphill both ways.
I tell you, as you get to a vintage age, you can't win. You can't win. Forget it.
You weren't winning before.
Also, we'll talk about cold. I'm sure a lot of people are going to want to call in about radiators and heating and safe heating and related matters. And we also have this word game that we play with our listeners when you come by. Last one was too easy. I think the first person who called in had the right answer. We had to wait until a few wrong answers came in so that it didn't sound too easy.
You mean you move it around a little bit.
We do
he
manipulate
does.
It just
he's
a
like
bit.
American Idol. He manipulates the results.
Well, what about – all right.
If it really becomes popular, I'm quitting and starting my own show just like Simon Cowell.
Because I was for Sanjaya, so I just want to let you know.
Who should do the honors of reading the word?
Can I do it this time?
Sure.
Let's have a vote.
No.
Name the nautical contraption that is not furniture – but a piece of special equipment used to help a lone worker dangle alongside of a building or structure being inspected, cleaned, painted, or repaired. Okay. The nautical is a clue.
Yes.
Okay. Well,
yeah, that's
nice.
Lawrence, I told you he's smart.
Well, yeah.
A number again is 646-829-3985. We invite your calls and also your questions. Do you want to say anything before we start taking some calls?
Well, we've been getting a lot of mail, email onto our own website about heating problems and also things that are happening as a result of it being cold, and then something about a problem with drainage systems and gurgling. We had a bunch of mail just on those three subjects.
Wow.
And all those people who wrote to us, listen closely.
Well, actually, with the heating issue, a lot of people are complaining about banging. And you know we've spoken about banging in the past.
We've been doing this for 25 years. Al, you've been here even longer than that.
It's always,
and I don't think we've ever had a winter where people didn't call in and complain about banging radiators. Banging pipes.
Yes, it's really not a percussion center.
Right, and we talked about it even last month when we spoke about the problem is banging usually happens in steam systems, usually one pipe steam systems, but not always. Sometimes it could be two pipe steam, but on one pipe steam systems where water gets trapped in front of the live steam. And when the live steam comes in contact with the cooler water, it causes the boil to the water to flash boil in the pipes. That expansion of great quick expansion of water and the boiling causes the banging to just, you know, hammer away at it.
Yeah,
is that more likely in urban environments?
It's a result of aging buildings. What happened is the brackets that hold up the pipes and everything else are starting to get loose. And what happened is one piece of pipe drops down a little bit. And it just needs like a quarter of an inch only out of level or out of pitch. And all of a sudden, there's like a pond of water inside the pipe. And when the steam comes rolling down that pipe and strikes this water that's at ambient temperature, the surrounding temperature, the water actually boils vigorously in that chamber.
Okay, I understand how it works. But Mike, I was leading to another question, which is, in most cases, this happens in apartment houses and often rental apartment houses.
Okay, I'm going to get this one since I was going to answer that the first time. Yeah.
And it's if you own the place, it's one thing. You can bring in people and have it fixed. What do you do when you say the pipes are banging and the super says, there's nothing wrong, there's nothing I can do about it?
Well, first of all, you're right. It happens generally in urban and older housing stock because no one puts in steam systems anymore. So that's become very antiquated and people don't put them in. As far as if it is the radiator itself that's banging, you can control that by repitching the radiator. And what I mean by that is that let's just say there are two sides to the radiator, the side where the shutoff valve is at the bottom and the side where the air vent is, usually in the middle of the radiator. Sometimes some people put them at the top. That's not right, but that's people don't understand steam. The side where the air vent is, if you lift that side of the radiator up a little bit by maybe about a quarter of an inch or maybe a half an inch, the radiator will then drain properly and you'll stop the banging in the radiator itself. Also, it's important that the shutoff valve be all the way opened or all the way closed. But if you keep it closed for a long period of time, it's important to open it up once in a while to let the water drain out because water still can get in. As far as if it's going on in the piping, there's not really a lot you can do, and it's just keep complaining to the super and the owner.
The unfortunate thing about it is that a lot of the plumbers or steam fitters, there are less and less steam fitters around.
Well, now they do sprinkler systems.
They only do sprinkler systems, yes, yeah. True. But the plumbers that understand how this thing works are few and far between. I mean, there are some that are very talented.
But we're losing them.
We're losing them, but the buildings remain. Mm-hmm.
We have a lot of calls coming in. We also have a number of people who have written in. And let me just deal with one of the people who's written in, the first person who actually responded. Mm-hmm. Lisa from Westchester, she says, I have an old set of French doors, and sometimes when it rains, water seeps through the edges of the glass. Is there anything I can do to make them more water resistant without having to replace them?
Yes, there is something to do. On the outside of the window, of the glass, you should clean it off with some alcohol or some sort of solvent, so any grease that's on the outside of the window, and then re-cork, not with putty, but with an acrylic cork. That is the best thing. You wipe it in very carefully, and then you wipe it off with some water. Let it sit.
And it won't show?
If you do it very nicely with a sponge, really make a very nice job and make it really neat, you could do a good job. You don't really have to be a master caulking technician. Almost anybody can do it.
But I also want to say that on her French doors, the actual panes are loose, then she may want to replace the pane of glass or reinstall the pane of glass if the glass is not broken. And if you look on – it sounds like such a horrible plug. But if you look on our website and in the publication part, there's the recipes for home repair. There's how to replace a pane of glass. And if you follow all those instructions, just take the old one out and put it back in again with new glazers points and new window putty – you probably do the same kind of job.
It'll be a nice,
neat job.
Yeah, but what's good about using the acrylic cork, that even if the putty is in place, old putty is there, take out the loose stuff, but leave the stuff that's solid. And if you go over with the acrylic cork very carefully, it'll seep in between the cracks.
It's waterproofing it, actually.
Yes, it really does a good job.
Let's take a call from Peter from Manhattan. Hi, Peter. You're on the air.
Yes, hi. I have a four-family home that has an existing oil-burning system. Mm-hmm. And I remember several months back, and I wanted to try and get in contact with you, you talked about a storage heating, a storage water system. And I was wondering, is that a good idea? And is that the same thing as a hybrid water storage system?
Okay. What's making your hot water now?
The boiler, the steam.
The internal coil, right?
Right.
Okay. If you're thinking of upgrading, I am – and do you have a gas in the building?
Yeah, I have gas, but the building is heated by oil as well as the hot water, and it doesn't do a very good job, actually.
Yeah, I would probably, at this point, because it is probably an older internal coil, at this point I'd probably abandon that and go on to probably putting in a separate water heater and just going with that. I think that the reason why I like it is for a couple of reasons. One, it separates your systems. Mm-hmm. Two, it allows you to actually shut your heat off during those fall and spring days when one day it's warm, one day it's cold. I use the example that even on a day like a few days ago where it was 50 degrees out, I shut off the heat in my house because when I leave, I could turn it down. And in that day alone, the building only lost about 3 or 4 degrees until I got home at night, even though the outside temperature was 20 degrees colder. So that's telling me that the heat wouldn't have had to turn on that whole period of time that I was gone. That means that if you're making hot water, that thing would have to constantly turn on and off to just make hot water, where the water heater actually insulates and keeps the water hotter longer. So I would actually go over to either a large, it's a four family, you probably want either a 75 or 100 gallon unit, or put in 250 gallon units in parallel with isolation valves so you get redundancy. But that's the direction I would go in.
There's another thing that people could add to it, especially on a four or multiple dwelling, is to put in what is known as a pre-storage tank. This is a tank, say about 45 or 50 gallons, that sits next to the water heaters, and as nobody's using the water that comes in from the street goes into this tank and reaches the ambient temperature. Instead of having water that is 50 or 60 degrees, it is now 70 degrees. That's how much energy you're going to be saving. Very good technique.
It just does it naturally.
Naturally. And any heat that's in the boiler room will be absorbed by this water tank.
Thank you for calling us, Peter. Marissa from Brooklyn, you're on the air.
Hi, I have a question about double brownstone doors. They're about 11 and a half feet high. There are two sets of them. They're gorgeous, but there are gaps all around, and I think a lot of cold air is coming through at night. We see light shining through in certain areas. The problem is that the detail is so specific, we can't just go to the hardware store and attach some metal stripping that's commercially available. So do you have any big ideas?
Well, it depends on how much you really want to spend to do this, because they could take the door and actually fabricate and machine in a weather strip along the edge of the door and the door frame and put a sweep on the bottom and put a proper threshold on the bottom also. It's probably a marble threshold right now.
You got it.
Yeah. They would probably have to configure some kind of sweep for the bottom.
Or they could remove that that saddle or threshold and put in a waterproof, airproof saddle.
But it's marble.
But remove the marble.
Who wants to remove the marble?
Well, because
it's a brownstone.
I know, but
Alvin, have you lost your marbles?
Yeah, really. Have you lost your marbles? You know what we're talking about here. We're talking about buildings.
I'm going to wave the white flag any minute now.
Okay. I mean, I'm guessing that the marble saddle is it cracked or it's not cracked? It's in good shape.
It's gorgeous.
Yeah, she's not giving up her marble door saddle. I got that from the beginning. But really, it takes what you really do need to do.
And form follows function.
And trust me, this is not a home repair. This is not a home repair do-it-yourself kind of item, because really what you have to do is you kind of have to find someone who can retrofit these doors to weather stripping around the door That's probably because you don't want to use that sponge stick on stuff because that stuff falls off in no time at all.
That's true.
And I have some thoughts about, you know, along the wall, along the hinge side where you could put a spring type of weather stripping.
Or you could increase what they call is the stop section so that it's – the stop section is where the door slams into and doesn't let it double swing. Yeah. So if you make that instead of a half inch, you make it an inch, you'll probably have much
better –
Well,
these are two doors like
Well,
this.
Yeah, but even at the tour where they lap over each other, they should have an increased overlap or what they call a rabbit that would be inside that door.
There are a bunch of things you could do. It takes a little bit more time than what we can tell you on the air. And also, it's a professional kind of work to
be done. Thank you so much for calling us.
But it can be done.
We've got to take a little break, and we'll come back with more of your calls and your messages via our show page, comments sent to the show page, to the Gurus of How To, Alvin and Lawrence Ubell, Accurate Building Inspectors of Brooklyn, New York, or also known as ACME Building Inspectors, AAAAA Building Inspectors, Aardvark Building Inspectors. Stay with us. I must have been about 3 or 4. You were the cute little boy. Now you've been gone such a long, long time. How you gonna fix this broken heart of mine? Mr. Fix-It. How you gonna fix this? How you gonna fix this? Oh, yeah. We're back with the Gurus of How To, Alvin and Lawrence Ubell, and we're taking your calls at 646-829-3985, or you can leave a comment on our show page at WNYC.org. And a reminder that we have this quiz, name the nautical contraption that's not furniture, but a piece of special equipment used to help a lone worker dangle alongside a building or structure being inspected, cleaned, painted, or repaired. And you can call in case you know the answer. And if you get the right answer, you get a prize.
That's right. We get a book called "The Save Energy, Save Money" by George Merlis and Al Ubell. And this contraption, by the way, was used in the construction of the Brooklyn Bridge.
Ah, okay. Dennis from Manhattan, hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Leonard. Hello, gentlemen. My wife and I put a bid on a nearly 100-year-old house yesterday in Belmore, New York. We haven't yet had an engineer come in to do the inspection, but it appears the house hasn't been updated in many years, perhaps 50 or more.
Mm-hmm.
We are first concerned probably about the wiring. The wiring, at first glance, to my novice eye, appears to be sort of original-ish.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else when the engineer comes in that we should sort of press him on?
No, not really, because if he's good, he'll probably tell you. I have to say that 9 times out of 10, the things that are important to my client are generally not the bad things that I find. I usually find things that are way worse than the concerns that they have. I mean, because what they're judging opinions on or views on are just what they can visually see.
Right.
And lots of times when you see things, like you look into an attic or something and I'll see something completely different, or I'll open up a panel box and see something completely different than what you're seeing.
So my wife was concerned about asbestos.
Well, that would have to be, it depends on where, like the asbestos in buildings usually comes in two forms. Usually comes in pipe wrappings or it comes in the form of floor tile. And so those are kind of things. But I think that just make sure you pick a good inspector and that he just, you know, and look at his website and some of his information and some of maybe even copies of his reports. And that's really will tell you whether how extensive he goes.
The two most important things that you should be concerned about is safety for the occupants. And the two things that are really top are usually the electrical and the sanitary drainage systems. Those are the two things that could cause problems, health problems, and livable problems for the people who occupy a building.
You also want to look for termites and things like that.
Well, termites can be controlled. They do damage. But it doesn't affect their health.
Well, no, it's like if you really think about it, even the city of New York, which probably has about 1 million buildings.
Yes.
Okay. The number of buildings that fall down each year, you can count on one hand. The amount that burned down because of electrical or heating or even plumbing issues, a lot higher number. So that's where our view is. Everyone says, I want to make sure it's structurally sound. It probably is. It's not going to – I mean, if a building is going to fail, it's probably going to fail during construction. Or if something other adverse happens to it, like some construction goes on that's not proper. But if a house is just standing there structurally, that's usually not an issue.
A listener, Ben from Ridgewood, writes in, my landlord is installing individual boilers for heating and hot water in apartments in our building. He seems to be working without a permit, and we often smell gas when the work is being done. Is this legal?
Well, absolutely not.
So what does he do?
Where is he from?
Ridgewood.
New Jersey.
No, or Queens.
Oh,
I
Queens.
Don't know.
Oh, Queens.
They should call the building department immediately.
They should call the building department, but also ask they should ask him, he says, where's the plumbing application for the boiler installation? Also, they can go online to the buildings department, and they can actually see if any permits have been pulled for that particular job.
So they have to be posted on the face of the building someplace.
Yeah.
By law.
We see those little things on.
Yeah, right. They have to be posted to tell the building inspector and the general public what is going on at this site.
Laura in Brooklyn asks, is it more energy efficient to convert a gas-fueled water heater to an electric hybrid heater, specifically considering the GE hybrid?
You'd have to look at the recovery ratio, the how much BTUs, what is the cost of the electricity. For us to do this right now, that would require us punching up the information about the specific model and everything else into a program to come up to see if that particular unit is efficient. If you want to call our office and tell us what's going on, we could probably do that pretty quickly. But to do that on this radio show, it is really it's more technical than I think everybody wants to listen to.
I also have to say that if her equipment is still working, then it probably would be better to stick with what you got until it breaks, because you're not going to save the amount of money that you're spending in that period of time.
That's true. There's an adage that we have in our business is, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Mm-hmm.
Keep it going. It's much cheaper and more better cost effective.
We have some people who think they know the answer to the quiz.
Okay.
Let's go to Barbara from the Upper East Side. Oh. What do you think it is, Barbara?
Hello?
Yes, Barbara.
A davit?
No.
Nope. No.
But thanks.
But thank you.
You
for calling. We go now to Larry from Bergen County.
Regis Boy?
What is it?
What, Regis Philbin?
No. A Regis Boy.
No. I know what that is. That's not it.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Okay, and now Larry from Brooklyn. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, a Boson's chair.
And pray tell, how do you know that?
I wanted to pigeon-proof the outside of my brownstone.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted an alternative to all the scaffolding that they would put up. And they said maybe a Boson's chair, but nobody had that technology anymore. I ended up going with a portable scaffolding. And they did a great job, but I did hear about somebody in Manhattan that they used to hang it from nails that are sticking outside buildings.
Oh, I'm sure, because that was before OSHA.
That's before OSHA. But the Boson's chair is still being utilized on construction into tunnels and on ships and the like. It is still the technology that has not been totally abandoned.
And we're going to put you on hold. So my producer could take your name and number and all of that. And then what is he going to win?
He's going to get a book called Save Energy, Save Money by Al Ubell and George Merlis.
Thank you.
Thank you. And before we go to another call, we get a lot of people writing in with serious problems. Sarah in Park Slope writes, some of the tiles on my bathroom floor are sinking in. Someone said my subfloor is cracked and sinking. It's a 12-inch square area. Can I just repair the area, or do I have to repair the whole floor?
Well, it depends upon how the bathroom was made. If the bathroom was made made many, many years ago, they used a system called deafening, is where they where they filled in between the joists of the floor with concrete. And what's happening is, over the years, the support for that concrete is starting to collapse in certain places between the floor joists. That requires a lot of repair. You almost got to break up the floor. But if it's a newer house where they have a subflooring and then they put tile right on the subflooring with a system called thin set instead of wet set, there may be some of that plywood or the subflooring may be rotted. You can cut that piece out and redo it. And
so how does she know?
How do you know? You have to really take up some of the tiles and dig out and make an exploratory opening. Actually,
if it's plywood, you know that that's what
if
is
you
there.
Hit plywood at that point, then you know that you have to replace the rotted plywood. There's probably a leak someplace that is causing that problem.
Let's go to Ross from Manhattan. Hi, Ross. You're on the air.
Yes. Hi. Good afternoon, everybody. I have a sleeve into which an air conditioner goes, you know, underneath my window. And what I'm looking to do is to fill that up so that no air comes in from the outside. I don't want to just cover it because I've tried that before. It doesn't work. Can you give me some suggestions?
Now, Al, this is, you've gotten a number of emails from listeners on just this matter.
Just this problem.
So this is not unique.
Yeah, I don't suggest removing the sleeve or the air conditioner. But what you can do is if you could take the front panel off or leave the front panel on and buy a piece of fiberglass insulation the size and the face of the air conditioning unit, and then take some plastic, sheet plastic, right over it. It doesn't have to be clear sheet plastic, and put it right over the sleeve itself, and then take some masking tape or even a shock cord. You know, the shock cord you can put all the way around and snap it together with the two hooks, or you can put some heavy rubber bands around it to hold it in place. Just to put a covering over it will not prevent the heat loss. But if you put insulation together with the cover, then you will prevent the heat loss and the draft from coming through.
Another call. Donata from Brooklyn. Hi, you're on the air.
Yes, hi. I have an issue with a noise coming from my neighbor commercial kitchen to my bedroom. And I'm discussing with the owner of the restaurant how possibly we can make this go away, and he doesn't have an idea.
What kind of noises are you getting? Are you getting machine noises or the noises of just the people working in the kitchen?
It's a working noise related to washing dishes, basically banging pots, even particularly at night when they're cleaning
a restaurant. Let me ask you a question. Is this below you or on the side of you?
It's on the side of me. It's attached to my wall.
Attached to your wall.
Well, that, in essence, could be, and I'll put that in quotes, that it could be a violation because that's what they call sound pollution, and there is a certain level of decibels that is permitted in the city of New York, and if that decibel level is above what the city law requires, they will get a violation, and they will be mandated to correct
But Al, in many cases, it probably isn't a high decibel problem. It's more like just the constant noise of a machine
and
going
so what I'm thinking
on that, and off.
What I'm thinking is that with the owner of the restaurant and the owner of the building setting up and one would have to look at the site, but setting up a soundproofing wall in front of this wall would actually—
On their side or her side?
No, on their side. Not on her side. Okay. On their side, because you want to absorb the sound before it starts traveling through
and
the wall.
And it's because they're creating the problem.
Also because they're creating the problem. Yeah. And I think it's Owens Corning makes some panels that would actually work. And what I'm looking at is because this is a commercial concern, they can put in these panels for a period of time. And then after 5 or 10 years, when they start to look a little dumpy, they pull them all off and they put another bunch on. Because it's just because it's a money-making operation, and I think that would actually help.
If you call the city of New York and they'll come in and take a look at it and they'll read the best decibel level, they have a decibel reader, and they'll make a decision. But there are techniques that can change the frequency of the noise so this noise is not that irritating, mm-hmm. And that's with baffles and certain kinds of things.
Thank you for calling us, Sonata. Good luck. And Celeste from Brooklyn. A lot of calls from Brooklyn.
Yeah. A lot of people live there.
Yes.
Hi, Celeste.
Hi,
what's up?
Hi. We live in a 4-story corner brownstone, mm-hmm. on a very busy intersection in Brooklyn. And when city buses or heavy trucks go by, we get vibrations in our house.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're worried about our foundation and the walls and all that because, you know, obviously these homes weren't built 100 years ago to handle.
Well, actually, the funny thing is 100 years ago when they were built, you had worse going down the street. You had trolleys. Okay.
Right.
And your street, if it has a bus route, probably had a trolley route.
It did. You can see the trolley tracks.
Yes. So the trolleys were probably more noise and more vibration than the buses do.
Really?
Yeah. So if the building hasn't fallen down yet, it's probably not going to.
Okay.
But it is always.
But it's still scary when you feel
scary.
Vibrations as things go by.
And it's hard to sleep sometimes.
Well, yes.
Well, what happened was I live on a street next to where a bus was, and we could hear the sound and the noise coming into the house that we live on. Uh-huh. And for some reason, I changed the windows on the house to be double glazed.
Uh-huh.
And sure enough, the sense of noise and vibration was diminished. It wasn't completely eliminated, but it was diminished considerably.
What kind of windows do you have? You have good energy efficient windows?
I mean, they're not top of the line, but we did replace all the windows when we...
Are they double glazed or single glazed?
Single
glazed.
That's probably that's one of the problems about the transmission noise. I know that's not stopping the vibration.
Yeah.
And I know that probably the China and the China cars
yes.
rattle.
Yes.
But it's really, there's not a whole lot you can do about it.
Right. Yeah. You can't complain to the DOT.
Well, maybe they can change the route of the buses.
Yeah, right. And I'm sure they'll just go along with that straight
away. We can
only
hope that the bus line gets closed down like the ones near me.
But it's really magical. When the people change from a single glazed window to a double glazed window, all of a sudden the house is quieter. And it's an amazing transition.
Now, we don't have much time, but I just wanted to read this. An elevator repairman called in and suggested that the red dust that we talked about the last time you were here, calls were asking about red dust that suddenly shows up at the house, could be from rust on elevator cables. He said he's seen this many times in the past.
This is true. It also could come from if there was construction in the area where they were putting up new brickwork, the red dust from the bricks sometimes gets into other people's houses.
And the gurus will be back with us on January 12th.
Mm-hmm.
I always look forward to these times, and so do our listeners. In fact, we apologize to all of you who couldn't get through, but you can write to Larry
at ubell.com.
UBELL.com.
And I just want to say that
what we're going to do is go forth and fix, save energy, money,
and do it safely.